We've been studying through this whole book. Once we got to chapter 7, we've seen that the Corinthian Christians had some issues and questions that they were wondering about, and they had written a letter to Paul at some point asking him about some things. And so starting in chapter 7, the rest of this letter is devoted to addressing those issues. And we saw kind of the first issue had to do with marriage and sex and some questions they had about that based on their context and culture. And he gave them a lot of teaching in the first 24 verses of chapter 7. But now we get to kind of the second question that they had. And this can be a little difficult because Paul doesn't write what their question was. He just writes his answer to their question. And this answer in particular is pretty confusing and difficult to interpret. I read a number of different interpretations of these verses, which is verses 25 through the end, through verse 40. We don't have time. I mean, we'd be here for a long, long time if I tried to give you all the different interpretations of this. So I'm just going to present to you what I think is the right interpretation, or at least is the best that I can do to interpret this passage as Paul intended, which is probably going to be maybe different than some of the thoughts you've had on this passage, depending on what translation of the Bible. Like, biblical translators sometimes interject some of their own interpretation, and that can lead to them using certain words that make you think certain things, and we're going to run into that this morning with the ESV translation. So it's an interesting passage to study, and very applicable. Actually, the first two songs we sang and the words that Ed shared, I was like, oh, well, that's like a perfect prelude to this sermon. So it's called Times of Upheaval. We go through times where life is in chaos, and what should we do during those times is kind of the theme of this sermon. I want to give some background information that I think will help us to understand what question the Corinthians were asking Paul, or what issue they were bringing up to him. There was some kind of upheaval going on in the city of Corinth, or in that area of the world is what it appears to be. And it was leaving the Christians in Corinth with a lot of uncertainty about the future. So things were chaotic and they are uncertain about the future. Something happened or something changed on a large scale, and it was causing a lot of concern among these people. And one of the questions that the people had then during that time is whether or not they should get married in the midst of those circumstances. Okay, so marriage is similar theme to what we've looked at in the first several verses in chapter 7, but this is a different issue than what we've looked at. So they're wondering, should we get married with what's going on? And what I thought about this week was Germany, pre-World War II, as things were leading up to World War II, and you think of the Jews in their situation, and young unmarried Jews who are thinking about getting married, but they see major upheaval going on. What are they supposed to do? Should they get married in that situation? It appears that something like that was going on in Corinth, based on what Paul says in this passage, and you'll see that as we go along here. And when I did some research about the history and what was going on during that time, I did find out something significant, very significant, major upheaval going on in the Roman Empire. So I have a picture here of two of the Roman emperors. The guy on the left was an emperor named Claudius, and he had been an emperor over the Roman Empire for a long time, about 13 years. And you think about that, you know, in terms of like our U.S. presidency, I mean, 13 years would be like three terms. I mean, it's a substantial amount of time. After 13 years, he was suddenly poisoned. So he was murdered, and the most likely scenario is that it was one of his wives, Agrippina, who had murdered him so that her teenage son could become emperor, and that teenage son is who we now know as Emperor Nero. All right? So that happened in October of 54 AD. Paul wrote this letter within months of that. I've shared before, sometime in 55 AD that Paul wrote this letter. And so anytime there was a shift in power in the Roman Empire, it was a big deal, especially if it was by assassination. And if you think about, you know, what happens in our own country when there's a transfer of power in the presidency, it causes quite a bit of upheaval. But in the Roman Empire, it was much worse. And so things were very uncertain. People were fearful. It could be that that was the major cause for concern. Paul doesn't say what it was, and we don't know exactly, but I'm wondering if that was what was going on that was causing them distress and fear, and wondering whether or not their young, unmarried people should get married at that time. It seems to me that was the question that they were presenting to Paul that he's answering now in these verses. And I want you to think about, how would you answer that question? If you were in that situation, if you were Paul, and someone asked you that, how would you answer that question? Is it a good idea to focus on getting married during a time like that? Or, I think to help this passage apply more to us, more of us at least in our situation, I think we need to generalize this a little bit. When you're facing a time of major upheaval in your life, what's the best course of action for you to take moving forward? That's kind of the question, the more general question that we're going to be looking at this morning. When things are out of control in our world, one of the things I think most of us try to do is we try to regain some semblance of control, or at least feel like we're in control again. And so we want to control the things that we can control, and so we focus on certain things in our lives to try to feel more stable and secure when the world at large is seemingly chaotic and out of control. And the question is that the best approach to find that stability and security that we're looking for? So in the answer that Paul gives to the Corinthians in these verses about their situation, he shows them the direction that they should go, and I believe it's the same direction that we need to go when we're facing times of upheaval in our lives. And you'll see it's a direction that we all know about, but I think it's something that often gets pushed aside, which was in Ed's comments earlier. We push this aside, we forget about this direction as we try to find our own stability and security by doing the things that we can control. So, let's see what Paul has to say to the Christians in Corinth about their situation, and I believe we'll be able to apply it to our lives. I want to make a note here that the English Standard Version, which is the version that I preach out of, and I do that because it sticks closely with the original language. This week I have some frustrations with the translation because they use the word betrothed several times. So in the ancient world, they had a betrothal period, which now we have an engagement period, which is kind of the same. Back then, they had betrothal. And the ESV uses that term betrothed several times to refer to certain people. But if you look at the original language, that's not the word that's used there. The word there, if you look at your translation, a lot of different other translations, almost all of them that I looked at use the word virgins, which is meant to mean young, unmarried people. That's the word that's used. And because the problem is betrothed gives you this idea that the people he's talking about are already kind of betrothed or engaged, and that causes more confusion, I think, and more difficulty in translating this text. And since most other translations use the word virgins, I'm going to actually, you'll see up on here, I'm going to use that word so as not to cause you confusion like I had to go through this week in trying to interpret this passage. There is, toward the end, Paul, I do believe, is talking to those who are betrothed, and then I'll leave the word betrothed in there, even though the original word still is virgins, but I think we can leave it in there at that point. All right? So you'll see that right now up on the screen. Please also follow along in your own Bible. And take notes as needed. So verses 25 through 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's what Paul says. Now, concerning the virgins, okay, so now he's changing subjects to address this new issue. I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress It is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. I'm guessing most of us, when we read through this passage and you don't quite know the context, you're thinking, man, it sounds like Paul's really against marriage, and he thinks everyone should be single, and you're going to see that as we go along here. I don't think he is that way, but I do think he is that way in light of the current distress that they were going through and the chaotic times they were in. So, look at verse 25. You can see in verse 25, he's addressing something that the Christians in Corinth brought up that had to do with virgins or young unmarried people in their church. And Paul, in that verse, admits that he doesn't have a direct command from Christ that he can pass on to them. And so he's giving them his own judgment on this issue. And his answer to their question is in verse 26, and he says that in view of your present distress, which I referred to earlier, we don't know exactly what it is, whatever it was, in view of this distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. And so I think he's telling them to wait things out before making any changes related to marriage. And so he says, if bound to a wife, whether you're betrothed to a wife or married, don't seek to change that situation. Don't seek to be free from her because of what's going on. And likewise, if you're not married yet, you shouldn't seek a wife either. Don't make any big changes. Wait and see what happens. So I don't think he's generally telling them that it's best to never get married, which it can kind of sound like. I think he has their current situation, what they were going through, in mind. It's not a good idea to get married at that time because of what was going on, is his judgment or his recommendation of the question that they brought up. Then in verse 28, he clarifies that he's just making a recommendation. It's not a command from God. So if they choose to go against his recommendation and get married, they're not sinning. All right? But if they do go ahead and get married, he says, you're going to face greater worldly troubles. If you're married, you know that marriage in and of itself, you have difficulties in marriage because you're two different people and you got to figure out life together. So marriage in itself can be difficult, but getting married in a time of upheaval and distress is that much more difficult. And so Paul says he wanted to spare them those troubles by recommending that they don't get married at that time. So I think he's saying. I found a quote by a scholar, Leon Morris, who the Tyndale Commentary series, he does the one on 1 Corinthians. I think this is helpful. He says this, "Some pressing constraint lay hard on the Corinthians at the time of writing. Whatever the precise meaning, Paul's friends were at that time in unusually difficult circumstances, and in view of the troubled times, Paul felt it best for them to stay as they were." And listen to this. I love this sentence. "When the high seas are raging, it is no time for changing ships." Okay, and I think about trips I've taken to Canada where you got these big 4-foot rollers. You would never want to get anywhere close to another boat during that time. You certainly would not try to change ships when it's that much turmoil on the water. When the high seas are raging, it's no time for changing ships. And I think that's good advice that Paul gives, and that's what he was trying to tell them. And then he expounds further on that idea now in the next few verses. So read with me verses 29 through 31. "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away." I think most people automatically think that he's talking about the second coming of Christ and how you should behave leading up to the second coming of Christ. But if he is, because it kind of sounds like that, right? But if he's saying that, he's basically saying ignore your spouse until Christ returns. Don't have any business dealings. Don't take occasion to mourn. Don't take occasion to rejoice. Don't focus on those types of things. Don't focus on buying, purchasing, and accumulating things until Christ, you know, forever, like until the big, you know, return of Christ. Now, I really don't think Paul is saying that. He doesn't say that in other places. He doesn't tell you to ignore your spouse in other places. He says the very opposite thing. So again, I think this has to be interpreted in terms of their current situation of distress that they were in. So I think what he's telling them is there's going to be a time of turmoil in the world. And during that time, you shouldn't focus all your attention on the things of the world, like marriage and mourning and rejoicing and accumulating possessions or expanding business. There is a time and a season where you can focus more attention on those things, but you shouldn't focus so much attention, make them kind of the focus right now when there's major upheaval going on in the world. And I think we can relate to him or to what he's saying here, because of our tendency to try, when things are in upheaval, we often try to regain some sense of control in our lives by controlling the things that we can control, or at least we think we can control. And so we may focus on things like, oh, my marriage, okay, I'm going to just focus on marriage during this time, or occasions to mourn and rejoice, and we focus on those things, or spending money, or doing business. Okay, we try to regain control, some sense of control, by focusing on the things in this world. And Paul says, that's not the direction you should go. That's not where you're going to find stability and security. When you're facing major upheaval in life, we need to focus our attention on something else. And what is that? Verses 32 through 35. He continues, he says, I want you to be free from anxieties, from cares, from worldly cares and concerns. The unmarried man is anxious, and a better words probably cares about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. And so he brings a focus on the Lord in here. Verse 33, but the married man, the one who's focusing on marriage during a time of upheaval, is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. Okay, he can't just focus on the things of the Lord. He also has to focus on his wife. And he says the same thing now with women. And the unmarried or virgin woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, or cares about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. And he says in verse 35, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. And so instead of focusing our attention in times of upheaval on trying to regain control and focus on the things in this world that we can control during troubling times, he points them to focus your attention on devotion to the Lord. Devotion to him, devotion to doing his work. When you're going through times of distress, he tells them it's not a great idea to get married. He tells them he wants them to be free from worldly concerns, and if they get married, they're actually going to be adding more concerns to their plate, because once you're married, you're not just focusing on your own needs. You also are obligated to meet your spouse's needs as well. And so when life is in turmoil, it's a good idea to wait to get married, is generally what he's saying to them. It's not the time to focus your attention on a new spouse. And obviously he says he's not saying these things to restrain them, but he's saying them to promote what's good for them and point them to the Lord, devotion to the Lord. So what should you focus your attention on when you're going through times of turmoil? Naturally, we try to focus on gaining control again by doing what we can do to get control. And I think what Paul is saying is Don't do that. Like, that's going to leave you, it's not going to leave you feeling stable and secure. What is going to leave you stable and secure is if you focus your attention on the Lord, because he's in control even when life feels chaotic and it's times of upheaval and turmoil. All right? I see this in my life. I mean, when stuff gets overwhelming to me, I want to feel like there's some kind of control, and so I will just start really get tunnel vision on focusing on things I can do to just make me feel better. And you know what happens? I forget, I'm too busy, and I forget to focus on the Lord. Okay? And I push him out, not intentionally, but because I'm desperately trying to find security and stability in these other things, and I ignore my relationship with God. And I think what Paul's getting at here is, don't do that, Eric, or East Lincoln. Focus on the Lord. That's where you're going to find your security and stability. There will come times when you can focus your attention again on business dealings or on marriage or on occasions to rejoice and mourn, but for right now, be sure you focus your attention on the Lord, okay? I find that to be the key point of this passage, and I think those are just life-giving words that, at least for me, if you're like me, you have to preach to yourself often when life feels turned upside down. Now, for the Christians in Corinth, Paul was specifically talking about getting married, right? So he's mainly talking about their, should we get married during times of upheaval? He's saying, no, you probably shouldn't. And so now he finishes with a few more recommendations related to that. So these, I don't know, I want to go through them because it's part of this chapter. I don't know how much they'll apply to us or not. But verses 36 through 38, he says this. And these verses, I think, are largely, I would say, misinterpreted. But whatever, here we go. Verse 36, if anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, which is not in the Greek, in the original language, that phrase, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. And so here I do think he has betrothed people in mind, which is why I didn't use the word virgins in here. In that culture, this betrothal period was a time where a man and a woman were legally bound to one another, though they weren't living together or fully married yet. And so these instructions, I think, he gives specifically to them. So when you're in times of upheaval and you're betrothed, here's some instructions. Again, with the ESV translation, I have some problems with this as I dug into it. It sounds like Paul's telling young men that if you can't control your passions and you're getting a little too frisky with your fiance, you should go ahead and get married. Okay? But if you're staying under control, you should refrain from getting married. But the original language doesn't say anything about strong passions. Like, that's an add-on by the translators, and it points to something much different than that. So this is probably where I veer away from a lot of interpretations the most, but hopefully you'll understand the way I explain this, why I explain it this way. What I think Paul is saying is this. After the advice he's just given, if certain young men who are already betrothed to a young woman and now they're going through this time of upheaval, if those young men are delaying their marriages because of the distressing time that they're in, they might feel like they're behaving improperly toward their future wife by bringing disgrace upon them Because in that culture, there was this understanding that there was a marriageable age for young women, and if they didn't get married during that time, they felt shame. And so what I think Paul is telling them is the men who felt like they were bringing disgrace upon their betrothed woman, you should, he says, go ahead and get married. If you feel like you're making her feel shameful because she's getting older and beyond this point of marriageable age, go ahead and get married, okay? Because prior to this, he's like, wait, you probably shouldn't get married, but in this circumstance, if you're feeling that way, you probably should get married. I think that's what he's saying. He says it's no sin to go against what I've been, his recommendation. It's not a sin. He says that in there. But then he also says, if you're a young man that doesn't feel that way and you have basically strong convictions that you should wait to get married, you don't feel like you're putting your betrothed to disgrace, opening them up to disgrace, you should go ahead and wait to get married. He says the one who gets married will do well, but the one who continues to wait will do even better based on some of the reasons I've already brought up earlier. All right? I don't know if that applies to us, but it hopefully makes sense if you've been confused about that passage. I think that's what he's trying to say. And then he adds a final comment now in verses 39 and 40 for those whose spouses had died and were considering getting married again. So if you're a widow during this time of distress, what should you do? Verses 39 and 40. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet, in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. And so I think to widows, Paul is saying, you're free to get married, but you'll be better off if you don't right now. I think that's what he's saying. Now, we're through a very difficult text to interpret. I'm guessing if you've read this passage before, you've had some confusion, because honestly, if you just read through this text, it sounds like Paul's contradicting himself within the passage, and he's contradicting other things he writes in other passages. And so hopefully this brings some clarity to you. But that, you know, he wrote it all about their situation with young unmarried people considering getting married during troubling times. Well, that probably doesn't apply to a ton of us here this morning, but what I do think applies to us is that we do go through times of upheaval, and I think the main point of this passage is what should your priorities be in life during those troubling times? Should we strive and scramble to do whatever we can to try to regain some semblance of control in those times and try to find our own stability and security? Should that be our highest priority, like it comes naturally for me? Paul says, I believe, no. Our highest priority should be our devotion to Christ. Okay, there will be times where you can focus on other things in this world again, but not when things are in upheaval. During those times, what we need most of all is Jesus. He will give us stability and security because he's in control, and nothing that's going on in our world can change that. So we've been through a lot of upheaval in the past year. I don't know if it reaches the level where you should, if you're thinking about getting married, you shouldn't get married. But I think we've all felt like, man, stuff is chaotic. Like, there's uncertainty about what's going on. So you may have felt that. More likely, you've probably gone through and will continue to go through circumstances in your own life where things just seem out of control. Something happens, and it's just, stuff's crazy right now. Okay? You might be going through one of those times right now. Your tendency might be like mine to try to regain control. And that's great, but you're inadvertently probably pushing God out of your life by trying to regain control because you're spending so much time focusing on things to do that. And I think Paul's encouragement for you today is take a step back, Settle down. Focus on Jesus. It's got to start there. In him you will find sure footing. Like the first song that we sang, like, talked about a foundation, like, I can't remember the words. My feet are on the rock. Okay? When you feel like the storm, like I think that was taken from Matthew, like the Sermon on the Mount, the guy who builds his house on the sand versus the guy who builds on the rock, like the rock is Jesus. The sand is the things in life we think we can control. It's not going to give you the stability that you need. Only Jesus will. All right? Turn to him. Let's pray. Thanks, Father, for texts like this that are difficult and force us to dig in and grapple and think hard. But Lord, when you bring clarity, it's wonderful. And I pray that you'd bring clarity to each of our hearts and minds and help, especially as we go through times of upheaval in our lives. I pray that there would be these, flags that go up that remind us, this is when I need to focus on Christ the most. I pray that for myself, and I pray that for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Thank you that you are a rock on whom we can stand. And so draw us into you. And when we spend time with you, help us to just connect deeply with you, deep within our spirit, so that we would come away from those times with that calm reassurance that you are in control. You are in control. Things are going to be okay because you are my rock. In Jesus' name.